Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 1651, What Women Actually Want in Their Financial Lives with Wendy Pettis, creator of the Sexy Money System.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life. Welcome to So Money.
We have such ideas about what success is that we're killing ourselves to try and get there. And it may not even be what we want, you know?
Welcome to So Money, everybody. I'm Farnoosh Torabi, April Fools 2024. No kidding around here. Today we're talking about women and money and what we actually want in our financial lives. You know, one of the things I love most when producing this podcast is when I meet someone for the first time in real life. It may be at an event or just out with friends, and I think to myself, you must be on the podcast because our audience will love you. This conversation that we're having right now, I wish we had a recorder. And this is how I've brought on Wendy Pettis. She and I met first in January at the Millionaire Summit in Puerto Rico. And she just came up to me after I did a small session talking all about my financial mistakes and fear and money. And it was really a candid conversation. And she came up to me and was just saying, you know, she appreciates my work, and then got to learn about her work and learned how she has this incredibly huge and engaged community. Wendy is known as the Relationships Whisperer. She is a psychologist. She has her MBA. She worked on Wall Street, and she's a sex educator. And she uses this combination of skills to guide women toward financial empowerment and personal fulfillment. And Wendy's personal story is an absolute testament to her own resilience. She filed bankruptcy. Imagine working on Wall Street and then needing to file bankruptcy. What happened there? She then rebuilt her life, her career, and now has reached millionaire status as the creator of the Sexy Money System. It's her brainchild and the roadmap to her own financial turnaround and what she teaches to all of her clients to help them go from financial struggle into abundance. So we're going to talk a little bit about that system, questions to ask yourself. She has this interesting assessment online too, really quick. If you go to wendypettis.com, that link is in our show notes. You can take her Sexy Money assessment to find out what's getting in your way of having not just enough, but plenty of money. I took that assessment and I'll share more about it in our conversation. Here's Wendy Pettis. Wendy Pettis, welcome to So Money. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here with you. We had a good time giggling, and I think it's going to be the same here too.
Yes. We initially met at Rachel Rogers' event in San Juan, Puerto Rico. I had a blast there, met some incredible humans, you included. Yeah. And you came up to me, and we're such a bright light, and I enjoyed chatting with you at the event, because what you do is pretty exceptional. You live at the intersection of money, sex, and pleasure. Tell me a little bit about the unique cocktail of service that you provide.
Yes. So thank you. It is a unique cocktail. My background, I'm an MBA. I worked on Wall Street. Then I worked for JetBlue, and I was a psychologist, and I did all kinds of leadership development stuff for them. And then I went out on my own. But before I even got started, I took some sex ed courses because at the height of HIV and AIDS, I had to, for my job, go out to communities of color and talk to women about getting their men to use condoms. So my life was just going along, and then it hit the skids. And yeah. I needed to just remember who I was, remember what was important. And I started building myself up using the skills that I had learned in sex ed class a long time ago. So what I do now is I teach people how to do that, how to build up their confidence, build up their ability to create boundaries and be really, really clear about what they want. And what I do is called sexy money. So it is
sexy money. That's
sexy
right.
Money. Yeah.
We're going to hit pause on that for a second because okay. I want to dedicate a lot of time to the framework there. And mm-hmm. also, I took your quiz on your website.
Yay.
And turns out that what I need most is some more confidence.
Wow.
So I want to learn from you about how I can, you know, show up better for myself and feel more confident in some ways. But your personal journey is also something that I'd really like to explore because it is exceptional too. You mentioned that you hit the skids and you filed for bankruptcy with $310,000 in debt. Mm-hmm. Tell me when this happened, how this happened. You talked about your career trajectory, and I was like, how does someone who's working on Wall Street and then goes to work as a psychologist for JetBlue, like obviously behind the scenes, we never know what's going on with people's lives. But tell me, take us behind the scenes.
Yeah. So when I first went to school, I thought I was going to be a judge. I wanted to be a judge, but then I believed that the system didn't really work. So I said, I need to make some money. So I went to grad school to get my MBA. And as I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, I worked for a national nonprofit. It was the height of HIV and AIDS. And I was doing programming. You can Google me and find me on C-SPAN. I was doing this highly sensitive technology stuff, for this nonprofit. And they needed someone to get this sex ed training to go out to communities of color and talk to women about condom usage. And nobody wanted to do it. And so I went and did it. And what I learned there was that women were not having sex for pleasure. They were having sex in a real transactional way. And I was in my stupid 20s, and thought, I'm having the best sex of my life, so they should too. I know now that's not true, but that's what I thought. And I went out and started to learn more about the psychology behind pleasure and the choices that we make. So while I was getting my master's, I got my psychology degree. Got my master's, went and worked on Wall Street. Said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated it, but the money was good.
Yeah.
And so I did it.
So we hear this all the time.
Oh yeah. It almost killed me. Like I was sick all the time. I had 11 surgeries in 11 years. Now I don't attribute that fully to my work, but it couldn't have helped, It couldn't
help the recovery.
Okay. It was so much pressure and so much stress. And the money was amazing. Amazing.
What are we talking about though? Like what? Everyone's got a number.
This is in the late, mid 90s. And I was making like $200,000.
Yeah. You're basically a millionaire.
Yes.
Remember when six figures was all we wanted to make?
Oh, yes.
I'm just so I can make $100,000. And now that's the new like million. I don't know.
Absolutely. But at that time, it was a gazillion dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, I bought my house. I traveled. I had an expense account. It was great. All the fluff,
Yeah.
But it was killing me. And my sister actually saw an ad for this new airline that was starting up because I continued running these workshops to learn about women and sexuality and talk to my friends and whatever, because I was going to, you know, solve that problem, the sex issue, on my weekends and evenings. And I was doing it. I was talking to people. And my sister was like, you're so much nicer when you're talking to other people. You're so much happier when you're doing these workshops. And I found a job where you could do that for your normal job. Like, you could go and they're looking for people with all different backgrounds and it's perfect for you. And she applied for me for JetBlue. Wow. I get the call and I was sick that day. I was in the car going to have surgery the day they called. I took the call and I was like, oh, I'm going to miss out on this opportunity. I'm having surgery. And they said to me, when will you be better? Because we'll wait.
Oh.
And that was my first little clue about like how I was treating myself. Like, if these strangers and for a job could do this, then hey, I must be doing something wrong. Long story short, went and worked for JetBlue. It was amazing, amazing, amazing. But they weren't paying me. I mean, my salary dropped. I think I was making like $65,000, like a big, huge drop. But I loved it. I loved it. And so
how do you go from making that much money to 65? Like, what did you cut? Well, is that how you got into the 300,000 plus in debt?
That was mostly medical debt. I think that I really got into it by not paying attention, by not taking care of myself. There was a time that I was healing myself enough for the next surgery, you know, just doing what the doctor said, not exploring anything that could help me, you know, just kind of going through the motions. And I think that was a big part of what happened. And the biggest debt was $200,000, over $200,000, by a doctor who convinced me to go to a specialized hospital that he owned.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was out of my network. It was, I mean, sent an Escalade to pick up my father and I to go and take me to the hospital and everything.
Of course.
Yes. And I,
right off,
I wasn't paying attention. Yeah. And so I was struggling, you know, while I was working with JetBlue, but I loved it. It was so much a part of my identity, so much a part of who I was. I loved it. I was good at it. And then I had a new boss who came in. And he harassed me terribly, terribly. But because I loved it, I put up with it for 6 months. Wound up depressed, on antidepressants, crying every day, just demoralized. Like, the person that I showed up as at, you know, working on Wall Street, I was polished and perfect and, you know, like, right, showing up all the time, but I hated it. And then when I worked for JetBlue, I was happy and just, oh my God, so grateful for everything. And I was then going home and crying all the time. And it was, and I'm still sick too, because my body is like, what are you doing? What's going crazy?
Yeah.
Finally, I put my foot down. And it was something that I remembered when I was in psychology school about body language. And I realized when the HR person came in to negotiate, to kind of navigate a conversation between me and this boss who had been doing this for 6 months before I asked for help, she sat with him. And it's something in me twitched. And I said, this is not a neutral space and I need some help. And thank God for that, because I did. I sued them. I won. And woo-hoo. I left. Woohoo! I left. Yeah. But I wasn't okay. I wasn't okay. My identity was shot because my job, my beloved job, was gone. I didn't have any money. And physically, I was dying. And so I just couldn't really get my mind together about what the next step was. But I heard about bankruptcy. I had assets that I did not want to lose. And so I filed Chapter 13, which means you pay it all back. And I started to pay it all back and I got my money together. You know, I was skimping and saving to, you know, make sure that I could do this because I didn't want to get in trouble. And I was so ashamed about bankruptcy, you know, me who worked on Wall Street, me who made all this money, you know, I had all these prestigious things going on. It was really a time of shame. And I used everything that I had learned along the way to to get me back on top. And so I started with pleasure. I started with little things because the training that I had said that if you can feel good, you can get things done. Even if you don't have all the tools, you have the confidence to ask somebody.
Yeah.
You have the boundaries to say no or to say yes to some, to lean into something. You get real clear on where you are now and you tell the truth to yourself and other people about where you are now and where you want to go. And so I started doing that for myself. I started with little things like, you know, okay, get up, Wendy, you know, take a shower and use the soap that you really, really like. Yeah. Don't just go through the motions, you know, eat something that will make you feel good. Not just, it doesn't matter.
Wendy, this could completely turn into a conversation about women and how we deprive ourselves of much.
Yes.
We are not allowed to want for things. Like when you said, I'm going to reach for the nice soap, I almost became a puddle of tears because I have a lot of nice soap in my bathroom.
Yeah.
I still use my husband's, what is it? The Irish bar that he had. Like I share it with him because I'm like, well, it's what's open.
Yeah.
I don't love it. Why do I do that to myself?
We do that.
What am I waiting for? When am I going to have the moment where I feel like I deserve a nice shower?
Yes. You know, and I do that with a lot of my clients. I say, start with the shower. I want you to think of me in the shower, like not in a nasty way, but think of me when you're in the shower. Like when you turn on the water, do you just turn it on and just step in? Or do you really think, oh, that's too hot or that's too cold? Do you open the window if you like? Do you turn on the light? Do you turn off the light? Do you smell the soap? Do you like a bar? Like it's things that we need to get used to asking ourselves, because when we can get those basics done, we can say absolutely yes or absolutely no to the big things.
Right.
It's those basic things that we have to fill ourselves up with pleasure. And you said confidence was your thing. That is about knowing what you need to do. You know, it's about feeling good enough to make those choices. And so the whole process starts with clarity, like, where are you now and where do you want to go? And so, like you just said, your soap, it's disgusting and you hate it. And there's probably hair on it. You know what I mean? Like, we know this, right?
Yeah.
So what little things can you do to set you up for success for the big things? You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Touching on confidence, getting back to me.
Yes.
everyone should take Wendy's quiz. I will put it, if you go to wendypetties.com, P-E-T-T-I-E-S.com, you have a sexy money assessment, which asks you what is blocking your pleasure in your relationships with yourself, others, and money. And my conclusion was, you're lacking confidence. What were the other results potentially? I'm just curious. Like, what was I up against?
You were up against clarity, which is really knowing where you are now and where you want to go, you know, and that happens to a lot of people. They're like, oh, I don't know, you know, or they don't want to face where they really are. And these relationships are about yourself, other people, and your money. It is all tied together. And so clarity is the first thing that we kind of tackle. The next thing is boundaries. So once you know where you're at and where you want to go, there are some things that have to change. Something has to change in order to get you where you want to go. And so those, again, boundaries with yourself, boundaries with other people, and boundaries with your money. And then the third thing is clarity, which is where you fell.
Confidence.
And that is about having the energy to make those changes, to stand in them, to be grounded, to do what you need to do to get what you want.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You want to know what's worse than shopping for jeans? Shopping for bras. It's never been fun for me until Third Love came into my life. Third Love was launched to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. They make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen probably since high school and have straps that actually stay put. Third Love's bras are designed at their headquarters in San Francisco, and they're made from premium materials. They put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before they're given the stamp of approval. And whether you're a double A or an H cup, their virtual fitting room can help find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, so long feeling stuck between two cup sizes that just don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. That's thirdlove.com to get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. I kind of interpret that as having a risk tolerance a little bit.
Yeah.
For some things, I think when I look at myself in my 20s, basically before children and after children, that's where I think the line in the sand is, where before children, I took all the chances. I got laid off, and then I, rather than going back into forcing myself back into finding another job, which may have been what I might do today if I was someone who got laid off, I started a business, and I feel like I had more confidence. I had my youth too. I think I felt a little bit more like I had more in my tank and could have more runway and all the things. Whereas now I feel like I have to be a little bit more exact about what I decide to do. Like, yes, I still take risks, but they have to be more calculated. And I'm the breadwinner in my marriage, which is not a secret. And that comes with a lot of responsibility, a lot of pride, and a lot of happiness, but also a lot of stress and concern about, you know, where are we allocating our money? And I just want to make sure that when I do take a leap of faith, that there is enough of a security blanket, right? And I don't know if that's what the quiz was saying, like, is that the confidence that I need, or is there confidence in other areas, like confidence in myself? I mean, I have good days and bad days.
Yeah.
I size myself up against others constantly.
Right. And we do that as women.
Yeah.
You know, and so if we're going to talk about confidence, it is about some of the risk tolerance, but it also is about the prescribed things that, you know, we do because society tells us that we have to. You know, This is about questioning and asking questions of ourselves, not because we have to, but because we want to. We want to explore and we want to see. You know, and confidence isn't like, I don't want you to be like me. I don't want you to be like anybody else, but I want you to be more of you. I want you to have more of that, I feel pretty sure about this. And even if it fails, you know, because I met you and loved you instantly. And I can tell that you would never jeopardize your family for real. For real. Now, some things may not work the way you want them to. Some things may not happen in due time, in the timing that you want. But if you could trust yourself even more, that, you know, bottom line, you are never going to jeopardize your children, your husband, your family. You are never going to do that. And that's what I'm talking about, confidence, that knowing, so that you can flex a little bit. You can wiggle a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's not just with the confidence with yourself, it's also the confidence with other people. I know, because I'm looking at you, because I felt you, I hugged you. These are things that I do. I know that you have people who love you.
Yeah.
And support you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's so true. I love what you said earlier about remember who you are.
Yeah.
I said it the other day. I was at a panel for Women's History Month, and we were talking about financial freedom. It was an incredible afternoon. And I said something, I kind of was like spitballing on there on the stage. But I said something like, I might have to like actually put this down on paper, but it was like, you know, we in finance, we often say like track the data, historical charts. You know, if you're going to invest in an index fund, the first thing you're going to do is kind of look at its historical record. Yep. We know that's not a guarantee of future performance and returns, but it's what we got. And it's a pretty good subset of data. And we're going to invest because that, you know, compared to something that has more of a downward curve, we feel good about investing in that. Similarly, why don't we apply that to ourselves when we're looking at betting on ourselves and we're insecure or we're like doubtful of whether we're going to be able to do it or whether we really have what it takes? I would just say, look at your data, look at your historical data. Have you ever really hit rock bottom? And even if you have you been unable to recover?
Right.
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 So we sort of lose sight of even our own potential because of that. We're so focused sometimes on recency bias, right? Yeah. That's like what has happened in the more recent future that I'm maybe still struggling with. And as a result, I have doubt about the next thing.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And each of these things, this clarity, boundaries, and confidence is overlapped by the relationships in our lives. You know what I mean? Like we have to understand ourselves and know what we want, what we should stop doing, what we should start doing, and how to make the next steps, you know, that align with our value systems, that align with what we want, what we desire. So many times we're told, when I worked on Wall Street, I was pushing for VP. Why? Not because I wanted it, but because that's the next step. And because I was young and I was Black and, you know, and it would be so great if I was like the first Black woman VP kind of, you know, like, but it's not my thing. It wasn't my thing, but I did it. I did it. And we get so many of these prescribed things. And it's not just that. It's not just work. It's family. You know, every accomplishment that I have had, I'm telling you, whenever I meet someone that I haven't seen in a long time, they all are like, oh my God, I saw you on Instagram. I saw you on TV. I heard this podcast, whatever. Oh my God, you're doing such great things. And then they ask me, are you married yet?
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, no, like, and I don't know that I ever will be. And I'm loved really, really well. Mm. They're not too concerned about that, mm-hmm. but it's just this notion of I'm not as valuable if I haven't been married or at least divorced. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
it's just such a narrow mind view of what our metrics for success are so limited to these, you know, handful of things.
Yeah.
You know, going to college, getting the nice job, the dream job, and then getting married, having kids, buying a home, all of these milestones that, you know, if you want to pursue that, fine. I've done all those things. Yeah. But it's just that if that's not what you want to do, it does feel like you're not living up to not just expectations of what others expect, but even your own. You have to really like recompass.
Yes. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm with every relationship, you know, how we spend our money, how much we make. You know, I was reading this study about being rich. And it was saying that, you know, there are people who are making $50,000 who are richer than people who are making $100,000. Why? Because of how they live their lives, because of things that they measure, because of their happiness, because of the relationships around them. It was really interesting because, and I'll have to try and find it, the article again, because I just thought we have such ideas about what success is that we're killing ourselves to try and get there. And it may not even be what we want, you know?
Right.
And so I'm just trying to change this whole notion of figuring out what makes you happy and how to go about getting that, you know?
I'm curious, Wendy, what is showing up a lot right now in your practice? Is you're meeting new clients, new women who are coming to you wanting to arrive at more clarity and or confidence, given that we've also come out of this weird pandemic, it's a really weird job market.
Yeah.
Politically, also very unsettling for women and humankind, but let's start with women because it's all these issues are leading to, you know, our body choices, our health choices. So I'm sure that's coming up a little bit in your conversations. Give us a little bit of the behind the scenes of what you're fielding at the moment.
The first thing I thought about was clarity, you know, and people are unsure of what. Then I don't think they're unsure. I think they're a little afraid to voice the things that they want now. You know, that's what I think. And that's what's coming up is people are like, you know, it just doesn't feel right anymore. I don't really know if I want to do this anymore or whatever, in this really tentative way of saying it. And I think that's coming up a lot. In terms of the types of relationships, it's about self. It used to be about relationships all the time, and intimate relationships specifically. You know, I don't have a husband, I don't have a boyfriend, I don't have a girlfriend, I don't have a wife, I don't have, you know, but now it's about like, I just am exhausted and I'm sick of doing XYZ, or I want to do XYZ. And so those two tie together really easily. But I'm finding that, you know, like, especially after the pandemic, people are like, what you mean? I don't have to do what I was doing all along. And there's other ways of doing things, and I can still make money, or I can still, you know, spend the time that I want with my family or whatever. And when outside forces are saying, you have to go back to work, or you have to do this or whatever, they are bucking the system. They're like, wait a minute, I got to find a different way, you know?
Yeah. You know, the pandemic was such a time for women in particular. Mm-hmm. Now we're seeing more women re-entering the workforce. Yeah. What do women want right now? Mm. What do they want that they're afraid to say? Besides, of course, like living maybe more on their own terms or having a better career path, but like at the root of it, like what do they really want?
I think they really just want to be free. Free to decide, free to just be. One of my favorite albums is Free to Be Me, Free to Be You and Me. Do you know that album? Oh my goodness, Carole King. And it's great.
Oh, I know Carole King. Yes. I just didn't know the name of the song. Yeah.
Yes. How old are your children?
7 and almost 10.
Oh my God. I think they would still love Free to Be You and Me. I'm going to find it and send it.
I'm going to play it tonight.
Yes. Yes. But you know, they feel still tentative about saying like, absolutely not, which is one of my favorite phrases. I tell my clients all the time to listen for the absolutely not in your body and let it come out of your mouth. Because when you say no to people, they still ask you again. When you say absolutely not, they are taken aback and they stop asking you, you know, and it gives you the space to really sit in it and feel what you want to feel. But in answer to your question, I think that's it. They just want to be free to decide, free to take a breath and a beat to make a decision, to trust themselves, to listen to themselves, which they haven't had traditionally, haven't had historically as a whole, but also as individuals, you know, so.
Yeah. And it's in some ways more threatened than ever.
Oh my God. Absolutely.
And money. Mm-hmm. How does that play into all of this? This is a leading question because I know the answer, but money and freedom kind of go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that what's unique about what I do with the Sexy Money process is that, you know, people come in, they hear sexy and they're titillated by it. And yes, I can teach you about sexual things and techniques and those kind of things around pleasure. Like, I am trained, I am certified, and I'm trustworthy. So people do come to me and talk to me about that kind of stuff. But when we tie it in to money, they don't get it at first. But the way you feel and the way you are confident about your money reflects on everything in your life. The energy that you have, because you don't have to worry about where you're going to eat and where you're going to sleep or depend on someone else, it gives you the autonomy to be free. And so, you know, that's why they all tie together. It's about yourself feeling good and juicy and yummy and, you know, and yeah, dare I say sexy, you know, in a not trashy way, but in a, ooh, I feel confident. I feel good today. Like when you put on something and it slips on, you know, when you put on clothes and you're like, ooh, you know, that feeling. And then with other people, like when you hug someone and it's true, whether it's a stranger or whether it's someone for forever, that is a gift to recognize that, to take that time. Same with your money. When you buy something that is a treasure for you, whether it's something simple as a slice of pizza that you really enjoy, to luxury things, you know, when you buy them because you want them and can afford them and not because it's the latest fad and I feel badly because I don't have that. I had a client who told me that she used to lease a car every 2 years. And when we got to the bottom of it, you know, that in and of itself is fine. You can do that. But when we got to the bottom of it, it was because the people around her were like, look at you in that new whip. Look at you with that new car. And it made her feel good. But I was like, but what's missing there is you don't really want that car. And who are those people to only praise you when you have something material? And it was like a light bulb.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, that's what I'm trying to get to.
One of the things that you mentioned, which was really powerful too, Wendy, was just, you know, when we do take the time to appreciate the little things mm-hmm. and to give to ourselves and lean into our wants, that is also what creates and produces a rich life, that richness, that rich feeling, which if we're talking about wealth, I mean, yes, money is a huge element there, but it's also the gratitude that comes with appreciating the things that you do have. We have far more assets than just money in the bank, right?
Absolutely.
We have our health, we mm-hmm. have our relationships, you know, even those soaps, those things, because they elicit pleasure and it's a moment, it's an experience. And we know that the collection of experiences in our lives do amount to richness
yes.
and feeling like you have real quality in your life.
Yeah.
So that is just something I wanted to highlight because it's easy to brush over these things, mm-hmm. but I mean, there is data, there are studies that show how significant these things can be in our ability to feel rich and wealthy.
Absolutely. And I, with my clients, I really, yes, we talk about money, but we talk about wealth. We talk about richness. We talk about abundance. Abundance is a little woo-woo now. And so some of my clients are like, back up, you know, you're a New Yorker, stop it, you know. but it is about that too. You know, like it's about finding delight. Finding delight.
Yeah.
If you, first of all, a lot of people don't know what that feels like. You know, I ask people to think about the last time you were delighted. Even when I say it, like I get goosebumps because delight is just, ooh, you know, and it could have been when your kids woke up this morning and they smiled.
Yep. I was going to say my kids.
Yeah.
My kids. Looking at their old videos of
yes.
just a couple of years ago when
yep.
they were still toothless and, you know, chubby and just saying things that were so funny and still they're so funny, but
yeah.
you really lose sight of that preciousness.
Finding delight, you know, and it is about the soaps. It is, you know, just the same way it's about the water bottle that you drink out of, the sheets. Yes, you love it, right?
My daughter got me onto the Stanley Cup. I won't let her take it to school because uh-huh. I think that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It also weighs 100 pounds.
Yes,
so
true.
I've been using it. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I think that underlying everything that I'm trying to get people to feel is about finding pleasure, finding delight, so that you can have everything that you desire.
I still think it's incredible that you paid off six figures worth of debt.
I did.
Penny by penny. You refused to be, go through Chapter 11. Yeah.
Yeah. I went through the bankruptcy that I chose because I wanted to keep my assets and because some of it I did amass on my own.
Yeah.
And this is no shame to anybody who chooses different routes, but it was important to me. And it, quiet as it's kept, my bankruptcy is officially done next month.
Wow. Congratulations. Seriously, that's huge. And
next month.
Thank you for sharing, because I do think there's a lot of shame wrapped up with that. People don't even explore it because they think that's not me.
It's a tool.
Listen, medical debt and any kind of debt, I'm not saying that this is the only kind of debt that would merit a bankruptcy, but most bankruptcies are led by medical debt.
Absolutely. Either medical debt or something medical happens to create debt elsewhere.
Right.
You know, I couldn't work so that I had to use my credit cards, or, you know, I was going to lose my house, so I took out this to pay this. You know, like it has to do, which goes back to what we were talking about politics and about women's health and all of this stuff. All of most of my troubles, my illnesses were gynecological.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I think about the things that I tried that I wasn't paying attention to, you know, the all male doctors, you know, I probably could have avoided some of it, you know, no judgment, no shame. At the time I had the insight that I had, and now I have different insights, and I'm trying to talk to people so that they don't get stuck in the place where I was, you know, and I talk about things that people don't want to talk about. I talk about sex. I talk about shame. I talk about money. I talk about race, you know, like we have to have these conversations.
Yes.
We have to. I'm the one that will ask you, you know, do you use a sex toy? Do you understand your body? I'm the one that will ask you, how much money do you make? I'm the one that will ask you about, are you happy? You know, and people shy away from these things, but I do have this gift where people trust me. And so I take it very seriously because I may be the only person that they can talk to about these things. So this is a no shame place.
I love it.
Yeah.
A friend sent me a study. She said, you'd love this study, sarcastically. It said, survey finds women would more likely talk about their own death than money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. People don't talk about death either, but yes. They don't.
It just goes to show you the totem pole of taboo topics.
Yeah. You know, and it's been, I think everything that has happened to me is either to teach me a lesson or to have me teach a lesson.
Wow.
I believe that. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we can work on that, on telling the truth about things, about, you know, getting rid of shame, about really standing up and saying, yeah, you know, I mean, whenever I have a workshop, I'm always like, okay, I know this conversation is going to be a little uncomfortable when there's a group of people, because we're going to be talking about some things that you really don't want to talk about. You're here because you're titillated. So let me tell you a few things about me so that you can judge me, because you will, and maybe not judge yourself so much. So, you know, like, I've had an abortion. I've dated a married man. I filed bankruptcy. I had gastric bypass surgery. I took antidepressants. You know, my parents died and I was in, and I'm still grieving. You know, like, okay, so now which of those things do you think are the worst? You know what I mean? Because it is true. And
that's very kind of you. That's great though. I mean, and this is a shout out to anybody who considers themselves a coach, an expert, a thought leader. We try to hide our flaws. We try to, because we think that it will take from our credibility to say like, oh, I've been through X, Y, and Z. Listen, I'm making money mistakes every day, y'all. Okay. Yay. And you can follow me on Instagram and find it out. Okay. It happens. And I think to your point, it's an opportunity for all of us to learn, you know?
Yeah.
And if you're coming to us for knowledge, like this is just, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes.
These mistakes.
Yes.
Wendy Pettis, thank you so much.
I so enjoyed reconnecting
with you. Thank you so much. Everybody check out Wendy, take her quiz, a sexy money assessment. I have that in our show notes. You won't be disappointed. You will learn a lot. I have learned awesome. Some of the work that I need to do, and yeah. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This has been so much fun, and I just thought you were amazing and was like, I got to talk to her more. So this is great. Yes.
Thanks so much to Wendy Pettis for joining us. Links to her website and her sexy money assessment in our show notes. I'll see you back here on Wednesday. I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person, contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.